You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. We continue. My thanks to Daryl Hill for coming up. He'll be back next week. Yeah, facing your fears, fighting through them. Not an easy thing to do. Mike Musselman joins us. Gunner, what's going on? How was your Wednesday? How was your volunteer day?
Oh, it was good. Really good.
What did you do? What'd you do?
Well, it's the same thing all the time. So it's like a Bible study for the people at this care center.
Oh, I didn't know. I just thought you went and hung out there. So you actually do Bible study?
Yeah. It's Ralph, myself, David, Sarah, Terry, and Joan are the people from church. And then, man, it's a full house. It's like 30, 40 people in there.
So
something interesting happened to me the other day.
Hold on. We got to go back to the Bible study. So, are you leading Bible study?
No, I'm not leading it. I'm a participant in it.
Okay. All right.
An assistant to it. Yeah, all I'm right. Not. Man, I am like, a first grader when it comes to that kind of stuff. You know, it's just, I've read the Bible from front to cover, back
right.
to cover. But I'm really not well versed in it. You know what I mean?
No, you know what?
You don't figure that out until you're around people that are.
Right. I remember going to I went to a Catholic university, right? And one of the cool classes that they make you take, and you had to take comparative religion. So you looked at, Christianity and all the different variations of Christianity. You look at Eastern religions, Buddhism,
right.
and all that stuff. You looked at what it was to be Jewish. You looked at what it is to be Hindu. So it was really cool. And then you had to take other elective classes. And one of the classes that was mandatory was the Bible as history. And I mean, what an eye-opening experience for me in terms of the woman who taught it. Her name was E. Jane Villa. She was a professor at the law school, but she also taught in the Department of Theology. And so,
right.
So she, talked about the books in the Bible, who wrote them, who they were writing for, right? What was going on historically at the time? Where they lived in the world, because that makes a difference. So what you learned was, they were writing for their contemporaries. They were trying to communicate an idea to their contemporaries, like Paul's letters to the Thessalonians. Well, if you don't know anything about Thessalonia, and if you don't know what was going on, you can take general lessons from the letters. But if you learn about the problems that they were having, you can see to what he's speaking to. And so that was her message.
Yeah.
It's like, in order for you to understand this book, you've got to learn a little bit of history. You've got to understand who the writers were. And then you've got to understand that they used a variety of literary vehicles. They used poetry. There is history in there. There is mythology. There is fiction. And she said, so this book is a very complex book, often distorted, and the way you find the better path through it is you got to learn and you got to peel it back. So it was a very, very, very cool, experience. I wound up being 3 units short of a minor in theology because I used to take them as electives because I enjoyed it so much.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, you're right. So, you got to understand the full concept of it. That's why I said, you know, I've read it. When I read it, I wasn't really aware of it. Does that make sense to you? So it didn't mean a lot of sense to me like it is now. Now I'm more interested in, like you said, the what was going on during that time, what was happening, what were these people, and then all the, again, all the literature, the avenues that they could take, and it's interesting, you know, and it's great to get into these discussions. Yeah, it's great.
The I remember so my religion class, I want to say, started at 11 o'clock on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So Monday, Wednesday, right, and Friday classes were all 50 minutes. And so at 11:50, you know, the dining facility opened at noon. And so the University, right, of San Diego, that school up on the hill with the big blue dome and the basilica. Have you ever been there, Mike?
Yes.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Yes.
It wasn't as pretty when I went to it as it is now, because it's absolutely spectacular now. But beautiful Spanish architecture, overlooking San Diego, both Mission Bay and San Diego Bay. Really a pretty place. So I'm sitting there kind of looking out the window as people walk by, specifically in San Diego, a lot of pretty girls, very well dressed. Which in San Diego is what, shorts and shirts, as they're getting ready to go to, as they're gathering to go to lunch. And somebody, right, so we had a few extra minutes, and she says, Dr. Villa says, okay, we got a few extra minutes. Anything that's on anybody's mind, just general questions. And this guy says this, was Mary really a virgin? And with that, my head goes from like looking out the window to the quad, it snaps, poof, eyeballs. Right? I'm like, we're not even supposed to discuss that. That I know. And she was really cool. She said, okay, let's talk about it. She said, well, do you think the guys who wrote the Bible, she said, what, a couple fishermen, an accountant, and one other guy, do you think they knew? And we're all like, okay, so as writers, what are they trying to communicate? That term in that period, when you said she was a virgin, she was pure, right? Because they're not OBGYN guys, okay? So when they, right, use that term, what are they trying to communicate with you? That she was this incredibly pure, beautiful woman. Okay, now if you want to drill down beneath that, you're never going to get, you won't get an answer. Okay? And I just thought it was, for me, it was like the things that we weren't allowed to talk about, you know, right, in grammar school and religion, you know. She entertained with intellect and openness, and I just thought, wow, that was cool, the way she did it, and we had a discussion, and then she said, does that answer bother you? And some kid said, yeah. Yeah, it bothers me. You know, because I've always thought that, you know, that word meant, you know, that she, you know, she said, well, look, that's what they say, but that's not what the question is, okay? What the question is, was she really? And the answer to that is, these guys weren't OBGYN guys. They were other people. What they're trying to convey to you by using that is the story of her and who she is.
And the answer is belief.
At the end of the day,
really, what it comes down to every day, everything when you read it is your faith. What do you believe? So, yeah, that's a very, I mean, and like you say, you never discuss politics and religion, right?
No, you always do, man. I love doing that. And our thing is, look, if you can do it in a respectful manner,
right?
Then you can talk about anything. You know, and I'll tell you what, I've always done it, talk about religion on the radio,
right,
which is kind of interesting. And because I will tell you what, you will meet people that will tell you that if it's in the Bible, it's a fact. Right? If it's in the Bible,
right,
it's a fact. And so, and that's what they believe. And so you listen to them, and you can have a discussion with them, and you give them all the respect and you don't insult them. But I enjoy the discussion. I know some people don't like it, but I certainly do. And so I don't try to lay what I believe on other people, because at the end of the day, Mike, what you said, you know, it ultimately comes down to what you believe in your faith.
Yeah, what your faith is. Hey, one of these days we got to, when you call, when Ralph was in the truck with me that day.
Right.
We'll do this, and we'll talk about this subject with David and Ralph in the truck. Because, you know, it's, couple guys that, you know, you just love to have that discussion with, because they have a really more, like yours, a more profound, educated view on things with more common sense related to it. So,
right. So how often do you go to Bible study now?
That's every Wednesday with those guys.
All right, and that's how the shooting thing started, that's how the volunteering thing started.
That's the volunteering for the Granbury Care Center.
Right. How did you do the shooting thing with the women this week?
Did I do the shooting thing with the women this week? I think, no, we just did classes this week. The shooting's this coming Monday.
Mike Musselman, our guest here on a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio. Headline today in the, I'm not sure if it's Navy Times Navy Times. Posting private nude photos is now a crime in the Navy and the Marine Corps. An interim revision to Navy regulations prohibits Navy and Marine Corps personnel from posting intimate photos. Quote, if the person making the distribution or broadcast does so without legal justification or excuse. The statute details three conditions that will be considered a violation of Navy regulations, including if images are broadcast or transmitted when the intent to realize personal gain, with the intent to humiliate, harm, harass, intimidate, threaten, or coerce the depicting person, or with reckless disregard as to whether the depicted person would be humiliated, harmed, intimidated, threatened, or coerced, the regulations read. I like that because Mike and I discussed this, you know, a month or so ago when this stuff came up. I think for young people, that stuff is acceptable in the culture that they come from. And my own opinion was I thought it needed to be specifically spelled out for them. Given the prevalence in our culture, and not included as that's understood in this. And so I would commend the Navy for doing that. And just so for the people that need that kind of admonition not to engage in that behavior, I think that's a good deal. Mike, your thought?
This is a long time in coming, man. I mean, I even know why we're even having this discussion again about this. This is like, you know, we've talked about this over and over and over again about where we need to be, where the problem is the Marine Corps is your grandfather. You know, you love him to death. He's a great guy. He's got great stories, but he just can't relate to a lot of things going on today.
Right.
And when you sit and try and talk to him about, oh, Grandpa, you know, on Twitter, or you know, what's a Twitter? You know, and the kids laugh about that, but that's no different from the generation gap with what's currently there. They just don't get it, no matter what. And they're great guys, you know. I just can't see General Joe Dunford sitting out there with his Twitter account going, you know, tweeting things and using that kind of words. Hey, General such and such, I want you to tweet this out. You know, they just don't, that's not in their language. You know, 10, 15 years from now, yeah, everybody's going to be, but society's changing.
Yeah,
it's acceptable. You know, it's acceptable. There's apps out there that allow you to take photographs and you can set the time limit that, the picture will, you know, be deleted off the internet or be deleted off this app, and then they can't, you know, so then there's that venue, or why just the DOD? Why can't we have this as a government on all the departments, DOJ and all the, you know, because they're suffering the same problems as we are.
Right. I would imagine it would be embraced, especially
how about the behavior. If you're going to try and change something, then it's the behavior that needs to change. Again, biggest problem you have now is you're pulling from a pool of society that you can't change. Not until you get them.
You can or can't?
Cannot. You cannot change. I can't. The Marine Corps and the DOD and any government agency cannot go in and change the way people, you know, express themselves.
Oh, okay. Right. I'm with you.
Now, you
I'm
can do that once you come aboard and you sign documents saying that you abide by these regulations and these rules and the stat, you know, and this type of stuff. And then when you do it, you bust them for it.
Right. Right.
But if it's acceptable in society as today, then it's just a matter of time before the winds of change are going to have to hit.
You know, I think it's a step in the right direction for the Navy and the Marine Corps. I one of the things I don't like, though, the Commandant needs to get a Facebook account. Look, if that's how the world's communicating, do you want to be your do you want to be your grandpa on the, you know, in the rocking chair on the porch that doesn't relate to anybody? Man, you've got to come to this, because this is how 60% of the Marine Corps under the age of 26, right? And it turns over 100,000 every 3 years. Think of that.
Right.
That's incredible.
The Marine Corps has one. Well,
no, it's not good enough. Not good enough. You can't be ignorant.
Yeah, you're right. You have to understand what they're. Again, Mac, the problem is, and again, I'm not saying this in a negative way, but the kids coming in today are Nellner's grandchildren.
Right.
How can he relate to them if he just upholds the good order and customs and the histories and all that kind of stuff? That's good enough. You know, I get it. You have to conform. I get it. But right now they're not. Now what?
Right. No, I just think, you know, I think in the next general officers symposium, you have to have, and just look, you don't need to, you know, hey, you don't need to be on it like Mike's on it, you know. Mike will go live. He'll do all kinds of stuff.
Once in a while.
Right. No, but it's how you plug into friends. It's how you communicate. It's how you know what's going on in your kids' lives based on stuff they post.
Well, not. I do it just for getting a kick out of watching my wife go ballistic on me.
I know, but the way you stay in touch with people, you know, I mean, it's part of it, right? That is part of it.
Yeah, kind of.
Right, and I will tell you, I just heard from a couple of Marines that are coming to Southern California from Northern California to go see, I think, First Sergeant Exlos promoted to Sergeant Major Exlos.
Exlos?
Yep. And so, you know, and just in the course of the discussion, yeah, well, I've been struggling the last few months mentally. And so.
Who, Exlos has?
No. The corporal who wrote this to me. I said, where are you guys staying, spending the night when you, cause they're going to drive down and then they got to be back at work, so they got to drive back. And they said, well, we don't have a place to stay yet. And I said, well, you're welcome to stay here if you want to. And they're like, you know, thanks. But you know what? You don't have that opportunity if you're not out there and you're not communicating and you're not involved. And I just think, look, if you're going to be influential members of the community, you got to have a working understanding of it. You got to be at least literate in it. You don't have to be an expert in it, but you got to be literate so that you can deal with this kind of stuff, because that's where they are. And if you want to lead them, then you better get plugged into it. And so, I mean, I will tell you, there's no doubt, and I'd be surprised if Bob Nellner doesn't have some kind of Facebook page where he can do Facebook now, because that's where it's at. It would surprise me knowing him and the what kind of person that he is. And even with, you know, I'll tell you what, you know, the other interesting thing about this, and pretty soon, I'll probably within the next few days, The Marine Corps Mustang Association is going to become a sponsor of All Marine Radio. And they'd like to combat...
Hey, I belong to them.
What's that?
I'm a member.
Congratulations. But you know what? They're faced with something that a lot of organizations are faced with that have been historically comprised of World War II, Korea, and Vietnam veterans, which is what, Mike? Dwindling membership. And the specter of going away. The Marine Corps Combat Correspondents Association has an incredible historical lineage. Okay? But they're finding if they don't change, they will roll their colors up and they will cease to exist. And where do they have to be? They got to be on social media.
Exactly. And I've said this before, and this is why, you know, I went to a VFW meeting when I was here, or a Marine League, and, you know, you're the youngest guy. I'm the grandson of most of the people in the room.
Right.
And I just retired after 30 years in the Marine Corps, and I'm the baby to them. There's no in between. So it's me and another guy, I think, that are more local, like same time frame. And that's it, man. But you go there, and I just, because there's such a huge generational gap, I just get tired of listening to all the banter and the him-hawing and the fighting that goes back and forth.
Right, right. And their problem is, they're considered by younger Marines, those are old guy organizations. So they've got to find a way.
Yeah, as a nuisance.
Right. They've got to find a way to get younger. And
right.
And to appeal to younger people, and it starts with social media and just getting on Twitter and liking an article so that your organization's name is out there every day, multiple times. Other people find you, they like you, and so you become visible. And then as you become visible, you know, your message can get out, you get noticed a little bit, and hopefully your membership numbers go up. But if they don't embrace that, they will go the way of the dinosaur as well. So, but I think it's cool. I mean, they got the message. In fact, I interviewed the executive director of the Marine Corps League. And so I gave him some grief about the Red Blazers, right? And then he got very serious about it. He said, no, we know we have an image problem. And then it kind of froze me. And I said, well, tell me about it. He said, no, those Red Blazers are associated with an old Marine Corps and old guys who kind of stand outside. It's not associated with young, vibrant men who would meet and go fishing together, who would meet
right.
and go volunteer. Yeah, go volunteer on a day. And we know
right.
that, you know, we're going to lose the Red Blazers. We're going to find a different
right.
way that would appeal to younger people to be part of our organization. I said, wow. And he said, no, it's a problem for us. And so it's kind of interesting, you know, just the way institutions, you know, have to come to social media, because that's where it's at. That's where it's at.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Interesting. But have you always been a technology? Cause you did more of it. I mean, I remember seeing like, God, the gunners are.
I would bring, one of my jobs was to fuse integrated technology into current situations. So, you know, using all that different technology, like DBOS stuff, you know,
right.
figuring out how we can use those as an overlay for our.
Well, explain, Mike, explain to everybody what DBOS is.
DBOS is a huge, it's a tower. It's about a 105-foot tower, or, you know, there's smaller versions of it, but it's hard tethered to the ground. It's got surveillance cameras that, you know, high resolution surveillance, day and night thermal, and I squared cameras that can see out to basically the curvature of the earth. I mean, the stuff is pretty remarkable. But more importantly, it has a lot of relay capabilities. It has a ground search radar system that tracks any kind of movement on the ground. It can track different, different profiles. You can actually set up and overlay maps, imagery maps into it, so you can pinpoint areas, and it would tell you routes and routines that people they would use, because you could just show daily tracks on it. And then you can slew cameras, and if you do it right, you set these up, you have complete overlap of an entire area, and nothing can escape your view. I mean, you just got total surveillance. It's ground ISR. So,
yeah, pretty amazing ground ISR, if you can imagine that. I mean, you can set it up to run its own patrol. It's going to look here. It's going to look here.
Yeah,
it's going to look here.
Yeah,
and,
right.
you, all
and if you do it right. Yeah. But the problem comes is integration. How do you integrate that with other technology? A lot of people look at it as just a one-dimensional thing. Like, oh, I can do this. But, no, if you do it with this and this, and then you tie it to this, you know, it was just a lot of different things that we were doing where, you know, we had a detection device that actually picked up what frequency our countermeasures were working on. And so then we kind of replicate that bubble within this live fire compound where we had actual IEDs, dummy IEDs, but with sugar, they would send off, you know, quarter stick TNT if you stepped on it. But always incorporating different techniques and all the technologies that we got from, again, lasers to laser pointers to thermals. We're looking at ground. We would disrupt ground because when you disrupt ground, you're underneath in cooler ground, and then you're getting a different thermal profile when you're looking through a site. Thus, it's a cue. You would cue in on it, and then you would send someone to search that area, look for wires or high metallic signatures, and then you detect, you know, an IED.
So just the application of technology is something you did professionally. So into your personal life, not a big deal.
No, I do it now. I mean, I'm a gadget guy. I like technology.
Right.
But I make it work for me, not the other way around. I'm not that kind of guy that relies on technology. I mean, my house has got a lot of technology in it where it remembers the likes and dislikes, how cool I like it, what time, and then it knows, and it kicks on right away. You don't have to set timers on it. It knows my schedule because it has motion sensors.
Really? So when you walk in the house, do you say Gunner's home and the whole house adjusts to you? Like lighting like this,
knows,
lighting like this?
No, it knows that you're home. You don't have to say anything. It just knows that you're home.
It does? It knows it's you and not your wife?
Well, no, it knows someone's in the house.
Oh, okay.
So, but it knows our routine. It knows what time we get up, knows what time we go to bed. And then, you know, so it remembers all of that information. And then the more it learns, you know, the longer you have it, the more it learns about you, the better it gets for refinement. And it actually makes your bills go down a little bit more.
We love that. The Gunner here on a Thursday. No, I've always been a
technology
guy. I've always liked, you know, I used to build my own computers, you know, and as computers went from desktop to laptop to cell phones, I mean, I've always enjoyed that. And then the application towards the military or the applications in life that you know, can allow you to do things easier, better and whatnot. And so, I'm not always great at it. But I love it, and I love being around people that are really smart at doing it. So I'm a fan as well. The, there was a couple news stories I wanted to,
No news.
What do you mean, no news?
Don't do that. Hey, I'm going to have to run pretty soon anyway. So.
All right. Well, you can talk about one. What do you mean, no news?
No news, man. Even Schwartz told you this. Stop it. You live better.
The your thoughts on Bill O'Reilly leaving Fox?
Who's Bill O'Reilly?
He's a commentator. The no skid zone.
And what happened?
He and Fox have parted company based on the number of sexual harassment claims that were made against him, evidently, and Fox and an internal investigation that they did. Any thoughts on that?
No, he's probably set up.
Yeah, for life. So he
set up.
So he can go do whatever he wants?
No, if he's, it's none of my business. I don't care what Bill O'Reilly does. I don't care. Is it shameful? Is it hurtful? Yes. Do I want it to stop? Sure. But I don't give a shit about Bill O'Reilly. Because Bill O'Reilly affects my life. How? Oh, yeah, nothing. The bug flying outside has more effect on my life than Bill O'Reilly does. Because he can interfere with my life. Bill O'Reilly means nothing to me. So, again, do I condone what he did? No. If he's guilty of it, no. I think that's horrible. But in the end, does Bill O'Reilly matter to Mike Musselman's life? No.
Have you ever watched Bill O'Reilly?
Huh?
Have you ever watched him?
Maybe. I don't pay attention to him.
Yeah, I don't.
I classify in the world of celebrities, and I don't give them much thought.
I don't even, I can't even tell you the last time I watched his program, because those guys tend not to be about things that are true. They have their own agenda that they want to talk about, and the truth doesn't matter to them. And I find that extremely, extremely frustrating. When the truth isn't important, go away. Go away.
Yeah.
All right, you got to go?
Yeah, I got to run, buddy. I'll talk to you tomorrow. About
okay. All right, there he is, the Gunner, here on a Friday edition of All Marine Radio. We'll take a quick break. More of this program. This hour of All Marine Radio is sponsored by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the one and only Battle Mug, 10-pound block of T6 billet aluminum, milled, machine, and anodized, and then turned into something that you can make your own because it's got Picatinny rails on it. Bottom's got a serial number, so you'll know it's a piece of ordnance, but it's really not. It just looks like one. Picatinny rails on the side. Very cool. And so whatever you throw on your rifle, you can throw on your mug. So figure it out. There's three rails on it. Okay? You got the handle on one. I got to go get mine. Maybe there's only two rails on it. My sense is that there's three. I'll go get mine. And I said we're going to go through the products. We'll do that. So we'll take a quick break. You can check out the whole line of Battle Mug products at battlemug.com. And enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. It's a veteran-owned and operated company made entirely in the United States. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
Owner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good,
are you really listening?
I still have nightmares.
I'm really not so good, but are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer, but I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development, and how do I translate that so somebody can see that value. And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there with folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
On Veterans Day, the nation honors the men and women who risk their lives to protect our freedom. Social Security does its absolute best to honor veterans and active duty members of the military every day by giving them the respect they deserve. For those who return home with injuries, Social Security is a resource they can turn to. If you know any wounded veterans, please let them know about Social Security's Wounded Warriors website. The Wounded Warriors website answers many commonly asked questions and shares other useful information about disability benefits, including how veterans can receive expedited processing of disability claims. Learn more by visiting www.socialsecurity.gov/woundedwarriors.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. $9.55 on a Thursday. All right, you've heard me talk about it. If you never checked out Battle Mug, go to Battle Mug right now. My boy Joe Delos is on the cover up there in Wyoming where he lives. It's awesome. We've got a few minutes, and I've been wanting to do this for a while. All right, we'll check out the Battle Mug series. Okay, there's a classic Battle Mug, which is the one made from 10-pound block of aluminum. It's got three Picatinny rails on it. Okay, so at 12, 9, and 3 o'clock. Okay, and then it has a spot for a handle at 6 o'clock. All right, so, and then you can get it with a dog tag edition so that you can pound your dog tag into the base of it. How about that? That's kind of cool. There's also a mug. That's just a sawed-off version of it. So the Battle Mug itself might be about 8 inches tall, maybe 9 inches tall. Yeah, it's not small. All right, and it's made of aluminum. The Battle Mug Combat Cup is about half that distance. Okay, looks like a little bit of what you would know as more of a traditional coffee cup, still with Picatinny rails on the sides. There's a polymer version of it. All right, so. You can get a composite material, and then they have cups, lids for the whole thing. Okay, lids for the whole thing. So got to have a secure lid. There's a Battle Comp highball glass, kind of macho looking. There's a Freedom Bomb that actually looks like a chalice, but it has fins on the bottom. So you know what that is. You can buy some accessories, the Battle Mug handle, that you throw on, the Battle Cup handle you can throw on. And then you have, there's some flasks that they sell. And, they look like, it's hilarious. One is a Claymore. It looks like a Claymore mine, right? With the legs. And everything, right? The place for the Claymore mine is a piece of C4 with ball bearings, if you will, like laced into the C4, and it's a directional charge, so it explodes in one direction. It's a nasty weapon used for ambushes and defense mostly, and used a lot in Vietnam. They have a flask that looks like that. Yeah, pretty cool. So, and then there's some accessories too. there's a picture, and one of the mugs has, one of them has, like, bipod legs on it. It looks like a mortar. It has short bipod legs on it, right? Because they go on the rail. One has a K-bar, like, on the side of it. So, the rails for the sheath, for a shorter version of the K-bar, goes on the side of your weapon. Cool as hell, honestly. I want to look at some accessories, though, just so, because I own one, alright? Because I own one. There's a wine bottle opener. If you need to open a wine bottle tactically, yeah, they have that. Very, very cool looking with 550 cord and all of it. You can get the gun rails, tactical inline flag. You can get that. So very cool American flag to put on your mug. And you can get that in coyote tan if you prefer. Or you can get it in red, white, and blue. So it comes in three different variations that you can put on there. So it's a kick in the pants, man. You should check it out. Go to battlemug.com, check out the product section, and you'll see all these things. So very unique items, great sponsors of All Marine Radio. So just wanted to walk you through. Yeah, the battle mug, the battle combat cup, the freedom bomb looks like a chalice with fins on it, a highball glass, very cool looking thing, and a whole bunch of accessories. So by all means, check it out. Veteran-owned company. If you're looking to buy somebody a special gift, why not? Why not keep that stuff in the family? All right, my thanks to Bob Nielsen for coming on. Operation Lead at Turner. Turner's looking for 50 guys. We've already got a few of them that have contacted Bob and would like to interview with Turner. We're looking for more. So if you know people that are looking for jobs, and more than that, they want to work for a company that's looking for veterans. They want to work for a company that will give them a career, not just a job, and in a great environment. You can send me an email to live.allmarineradio@gmail.com, or you can go to the 100 Entrepreneurs website, and you can find Bob Nielsen's email address, and you can email him. But just get us an email. Say, hey, I'm interested. What do I do? And we'll take care of the rest. So if you're interested in taking your leadership skills that you've learned in the United States military and practicing them in the field of construction, and you don't need to know about anything about construction. You need to know about leading, problem solving, and people. That's what you need to know about. So if that's the case, then contact us, right? All you got to do is search All Marine Radio. Search 100 Entrepreneurs. Search Mike McNamara, All Marine Radio. Search Bob Nielsen, Nilsson. We're different spelling. So do any of that, and then just contact us. Shoot us an email. Hey, I'm interested. That's all you got to do. And we'll get you pointed in the right direction. So, again, good on Turner Construction for looking for veterans. And we love that. So, and we're going to do this with more companies. So, good on him. Another thing, Daryl Hill for coming on. Daryl is a former Marine Infantry officer by way of the Naval Academy, and now helps people. Right? Face your fears, break through your bullshit. And in the world of business, he helps people monetize their mind by helping you, what I would call, square up with some of your demons, and then attempt, and then begins the rewiring, which is, don't you see, in my case, don't you see that the way you've seen that since you were a kid derails you and keeps you from helping other people, keeps you from helping more people, keeps you from supporting your family better? Are you going to allow that, or are you going to conquer that? And if you simply embrace it, you're able to do those things. It's like, wow. I didn't think about it like that. I just have this negative connotation with it, and it freezes me. So I want to thank him for coming on. And as always, Mike Musselman for coming on. Also, we're often critical of the Marine Corps and Navy. Want to congratulate those services, the Department of the Navy, which includes both, on their getting it right. And that is a specific language in the Uniform Code of Military Justice, and or right now it's in Navy regulations that forbids the forwarding of nude or intimate images of somebody without their consent. So I think that's a step in the right direction for the institution. All right. And then we're working on having some women that have started social media organizations that are asking other Marines to join us and put an end to this stuff. So we're working on getting them on next week. Thanks for listening. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Subscribe to the podcast. This program will re-air momentarily. Yeah, how about that? Momentarily, like now. So we'll do that. Thanks for listening here on Thursday. Tomorrow we'll do a little cooking segment. My boy Kurt Knowles is going to join us. F-18 pilot. We'll probably talk a little bit of transitioning with him as well, and a little bit of VA as well. So on a Thursday, thank you very much for listening, making All Marine Radio part of your day. Out.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.